Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Three-way scroll. High position visual. Sound selective mode. It's a super AV action. Contra.
Famicom 用カセットコントラ好評発売中。
Konami.
What are you doing? It's the retro show that you love to listen to every week called Play Retro. Welcome to episode 6. Hi, I'm your host Scott Johnson, and I like to run and gun, but rarely do I like to gun and run.
Oh, don't fall. And I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, a one-man army of destruction looking for a power-up.
Oh, wink. Yeah, get the grenades. Those are the way to go if you can get them. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is episode 6, like I mentioned. Today is all about the run and gun genre, from Contra to Gunstar Heroes and beyond. We'll talk all about that coming up. But before we do, a couple quick things at the top of the show. Hey, Brian, you know when you pay your $4 a month or whatever it is to Nintendo, and on the Switch you get a bunch of SNES and NES titles? Do you know what I'm
Absolutely.
Talking about?
Absolutely. I've been tempted to do that N64 thing. What are you doing?
I've been tempted. I know they need to work out some problems, though. I guess that thing's been a little iffy, performance-wise right. and stuff. And if they want extra money out of me, they better have that worked out before I do it. But I might. I don't know. I don't, you know, there's not a lot in the N64 era that I adore, but I do love. One of my favorite games of all time is Mario 64, and Ocarina of Time's amazing. Mm-hmm. And there are games, for sure, that I'm interested in, but I mostly see the PlayStation and the N64 era as kind of a mess.
Yeah. And awkward teenage years trying to get to 3D.
Yeah, they're like polygons in those days were like bad zits on your forehead. You just didn't know why they were there. You didn't know how to get rid of them. You thought
I
eating can't chocolate.
Figure out why these zits are here. Pass me the candy bar.
Your mom would say stop drinking milk, and you'd stop drinking milk, but you'd still have zits. I don't know.
That was the thing your mom thought it was the milk that was making the zits.
She thought that, yeah. She also thought chocolate and what was the other thing? There was some third thing that she says, it was maybe cheese, but that's right. related to milk. But she was always like,
because it all looks like cheese and milk. Oh God, gross.
Yeah, and she'd lie like all parents and say, you're not gonna have any zits after the age of 18. What a freaking lie right. that was. Good Lord.
Right.
Anyway, so
don't acne, it's a butthole.
As a result, I got really into playing some of those games. The library's actually gotten pretty good on the NES and SNES side of things on that device. And
they like add like a new game every so often. Is there a schedule to that, or do you know?
I don't think there's a schedule. It seems like when Nintendo feels like it, and quite often they're games that aren't great. they're kind of
give them more games.
Like, here's Scooter's Disease, and you're like, when did that game come out? I never even heard of that. Or here's World Famous Rugby Show.com, and you're like, I don't know what that is. Never heard of these games. But then sometimes it'll be like, Yoshi did some shit. Here it is, you know?
Yes.
Like, and you'll be like, oh, okay, well, that I know that name. It is very strange, but I like, you know, for the most part, the classics are there. So your Metroid, your Mario's, your Kirby's, your whatever's. And I've been dinking around in there quite a bit. And I ended up getting sucked into a complete playthrough. I think I'm going to finish it. Yoshi's Island, or I guess it's Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island.
Right.
Which was the one that looked like it was painted or drawn with like colored pencils, and you're controlling Yoshi, and you got baby Mario on your back. You got Grogu on your back. Now you got baby Mario on your back, and if he gets off, he cries. You got to go grab him and get him back on your back and all that. Anyway, if you never played that, it's a fantastic game, and I loved it back in the day. And played it again GBA years at some point and loved it again. Right. And then kind of forgot about it again. And then the other day, I was just flipping through there. I'm like, oh, I haven't touched that in a while. I'll just poke my head in. No big deal.
No big deal.
Completely sucked in, man. Love that game.
Good.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite little platformers from that 16 era. It's very good.
How many games do you think were released in North America for just the NES? Not the SNES, just the NES. How many games do you think?
1,500.
Oh, you're a little high. 673. So, well, yeah, right. I think you have access to, like, I don't know, like 30 or 40, something like that, when you subscribe to the thing. So they got a few more they can pull out.
Oh, they definitely could do more. And there's some games in there that are just, you know, precariously missing. Like this tennis game I'm talking about that I was talking pre-show for the Game Boy Color. They should put those in there. Well, they should put Game Boy games in there. They don't right now.
Yeah.
So they should do that. They should put Game Boy. They should put GBA. And they should lump that in with the N64 bump. I'll pay for that. That's fine.
I agree.
That's worth it. I would do that in a freaking second. But also, you don't need to release things like Bob's Uncle or whatever game I've never heard of. There's so many in there like that. It's really weird. Anyway, that game's great. I just wanted to give it a shout out because there are way less or there were way worse uses of your time than Yoshi's Island 1. I never played 2. Or is there a 2? It's 2 on the Wii.
You know,
or something.
I don't remember.
It's like a Wii game or something, right? Do I have that right? I don't know why I remember that.
I think you're right. I can't, but there is something, but I can't think of it.
And then there's a game with Yoshi and a cookie or some shit. I don't know what that is. I never played that.
Okay, I don't know anything about Yoshi and a cookie.
Yeah, that, well, yes. And then on the emulation front, I played a lot of Metroid Fusion, which I remember being.
Okay.
No, that's. Is it DS?
Port.
Nope, GBA. Sorry, GBA.
Okay.
GBA original. And that game is one of my favorite Metroids. I love that game. I've forgotten how much I liked it. So I'm playing that.
Yoshi's game. Cookie from 1992.
I knew there was one with a cookie in it. I knew it. How was that? Any good? Probably poo.
I don't remember anything about this, to be honest with you. Let's see here. Is a 6 out of 10 for IGN, but is that recent reviews or was that back in the day? I'm assuming it's back in the day.
Probably back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, know. 6 out of 10. Yoshi's Cookie, maybe it held up better than you think.
Who knows? War Crusher has some nice trivia in the chat. It says Nintendo actually collaborated on Sharp TVs with an NES built into them in the late 80s. They are super rare and expensive, though. Not the best TV either. But that's cool.
That is cool, man.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's rad. Had no idea.
See, anyway. Look at the chat room knowing things.
Yeah, yeah. Look at them. Also, I played the greatest. Tetris Effect is awesome, okay? Prior to Tetris Effect, which is a current new version of Tetris in VR or otherwise, prior to that, though, the best hands-down Tetris game, in my opinion, was that DS Tetris game. And I think it's just called Tetris DS.
Tetris
anyway,
DS.
Amazing. Incredible soundtrack. All tied in with like Nintendo properties, so different modes. One of them is basically a Mario mode. Another one's like a Zelda mode. They got a thing for Metroid in there. The multiplayer, like head-to-head, is insane. It's so good. Gosh dang it, it's good. And I'm happy to report, it's one of the few DS games that runs wonderfully in emulation because it doesn't require the stylus at all. It didn't in the day either. You didn't need a stylus to make it work. You get a big, tall image of it, so your opponent's on top and you're on the bottom, but you don't have to touch anything. You just control her through that thing. And it's awesome. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I'm down with that. But you know, I don't like Tetris anyway. So
Wait, what? You don't like Tetris?
You know, we've talked about that. I don't like things to rotate.
I knew you didn't like this.
I don't like Steam.
I knew you didn't like Steam, but I didn't know about no Tetris. Is this true? We have never talked about this, I don't think.
No. Well, I think we talked about it a couple weeks back. I said I don't like things that rotate, and I it's because I just Tetris is not to me. Tetris looks like it should be a game about chill, and it's not about chill. It's the most stressful freaking thing in the world to me. So I'm like, I don't want to play Tetris, which is funny because our game this week we picked, oddly enough, I find it more relaxing.
Oh, wow.
The hardest game of the 80s, Contra, I find more relaxing than Tetris.
Contra is very pain in the ass, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it has its fun.
All right, tell me about your flat screen CTR or CRT.
Oh, hi, look at this. Yes, yeah. Okay, so I picked up, I've been...
Oh, that's what it is, back. Look at this white, yeah, look at this white been, noise and everything, you guys.
Yeah. I've been talking about this for a little while. Yeah. Is I've been looking for a flat screen CRT so I could do some emulation. So I could play some, so I could play my actual GameCube. I was going to plug my GameCube in this.
Oh, you should.
And so, yeah. So I'm going to be doing that. The thing is, hey Scott, how much would you pay for a 20-inch Sinfonic Magnavox, I believe, from 2006.
Yeah,
CRT flat screen.
I think I'm gonna,
how much would you pay for that
today in today's money?
Right now
I would pay. Given how much those are in demand by collectors, you know, that just want to have that experience, I'd probably say $100.
$20.
$20.
That's right. All. $20. Not bad. So okay.
Where'd
so
you get
I've,
it?
I've learned something about myself this past week, Scott. I tried to figure out, am I the kind of guy that has more time or money? We talked about this pre-show a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I have more time or money? I have neither. Okay. So I said, all right, what am I supposed to do here? I looked on eBay for some flat screen CRTs. And you know how eBay is. eBay pushes everything to the top. You know, you're not going to get a deal there because there's just too many eyes looking at it. Yeah. This thing gonna happen.
Yeah.
So these TVs are selling for about $200. It's not even a great TV. It's just a bleh, you know, it's a bland TV across the middle.
Sure. This isn't some one fancy Sony TV from the 90s. I get
it. No, it's not a Sony or anything. Where's it? It's got like it's got an audio and it's got a video. And it's only got one. It's mono audio at that, and it's got a coax input. So it's not great.
Yeah.
So
does it have the UHF thing, like the NES UHF little hookup with the two screws
Yeah. Right, no, it doesn't do that. It's 2006, so it's not that old. But yeah, so I was like, okay. So I hit up my groups and forums out there, and I was like, hey, what should I do? They said, hey, I find cheap TVs all the time in town. I was like, all right, I'll use Facebook Marketplace. I can do that. I hate Facebook Marketplace, Scott.
Oh, it's so bad. It's a hellscape. It's a nightmare generator. I hate it. It's bad.
I hate selling things in there. Yeah, I hate selling things in there because people freak out. They're like, they bug you for like months, and it's like, leave me alone. Yeah. But I said, okay, I'll look on there. Old TV is what I look for. This is what I found, $20. I said, cool. I said, hey, you got this? The guy says, yeah. He says, when can you meet me? I was like, you know, I don't know. He said, can you meet me in 10 minutes? I was like, I don't know. Where are you at? You know? Mm-hmm. And so he's like, and he says, it's just right up the road from me. So I'm like, okay, cool. And I say, okay, do you want to meet in the parking lot of this place? No, I don't have a car. Everybody I deal with on Facebook Marketplace, no one has a car.
What is that about? That's weird.
I don't know.
That seems crazy.
I guess it's just that's where you live. So they don't have a car. So okay, I guess that's why you're selling it for $20.
That makes sense to me. I mean, if they don't
this dude said, don't leave. I will be there. And I'm like, I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait, he doesn't have a car? How's he going to get to the meeting place with a 19-inch TV? These things are heavy, or 20-inch TV. These things are heavy.
They're
beast. You know, at least 30, 40, 50 pounds maybe. So
for that size, yeah, easily. If you had anything bigger than that, I remember we had a 36-inch Sony in the 90s that we feel like I went into debt for that thing. And it was the best you could get at the time. We were trying to get something that would last. Little did we know how short-lived these CRTs are going to be. But that thing took at least three of us to move comfortably. Two, if you're lucky, and no way you're moving it on your own. F it. It's not happening.
This dude's like, this dude tells me, he's like, I'm 15 minutes away. I'm like, from the place that the meeting place. I'm like, okay. It's like, he's like over a couple blocks. I'm like, okay, dude, just take your time. I'm not in no hurry or anything. He's like, okay, well, we got to meet now. I was like, okay, now I'm really feeling weird about it.
Yeah.
He's like, such a hurry to do it.
Yeah.
Dude runs from his house with this TV. I get there. He's out of breath. You know, he's just, I don't know, man. He was just out of breath, and I gave him his $20. He's like, ah, thanks. And he's off. And I'm like, have fun. Enjoy your drugs.
Yeah, I'll never see you again. Weird.
Right. Enjoy your drugs. So I was glad I wasn't going to see him again.
Yeah.
But yeah, enjoy I went ahead. Drugs. That's how I got it. But I was surprised. I was thinking, oh, wait, this thing's going to smell like smoke. No, this thing's really well kept.
You didn't open it up. You didn't crack it up and find some like old weed in there or anything.
Look, $20. I didn't even ask. I'm just like, if it works, it works. If not, then I just roll out the back of the truck and say, oh, well,
there you
that
go.
Didn't work out.
20 bones. Easy peasy.
$20, man. Yep. But that's not bad. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is the last $20 TV I'm going to buy.
You're never going to get another one. You might buy some little, some cute little screen to put into a portable or something. We're not talking about that, but you know, a big CRT, F it. That's it.
It was way too stressful, man. I can't do that. I'm not that person. I can't buy things off Facebook. Maybe somebody else. I'll have to like contract somebody out to do it for me or something. I can't do Facebook.
See, you're talking like me with this RetroPie handheld. I don't want to do all the work. I just want someone to do it for me. All right. There you go. It is time, everybody, to dive in to our game and our genre of the week.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah, we shall. Listen, the game genre is the run and gun genre. And in particular, I think the focus today will be more Contra than anything, because Contra is kind of the granddaddy of them. That is not to say that we know there are some games you could maybe look at and say, well, this looks like the progenitor of the run and gun genre, and you know, Contra came after it. We're not really looking for 100% accuracy here, but in terms of impact and how important it was, think of it as what Pac-Man was to maze games.
Right.
Think of it as what, I don't know, Mario is to scrolling platformers. Like it has a place that is pretty solid in terms of kind of origination. And Brian, I'd like to share something with you. I found a GIF that shows it even better. I'll put this in the chat as well. So that you can see it directly. Chat room, you can look at it. And those at home, I'll describe it. It's the cover of the original Contra for the NES. I don't remember if the arcade had this art on it or not, but they
It did not.
They straight up copied Arnold in Commando and Stallone in the, what's his movies? I forgot them.
Rambo.
Rambo, thank you. And then behind that, basically an alien from the Aliens movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And geez.
Go ahead.
Take that, you guys. Go ahead and just lift that and make a game cover out of it. Amazing.
Right. So this was the conversion that went over to the NES, specifically to what you're showing here. So that was commissioned by Ocean Software, and they paid Bob Wakelin, artist, passed away a couple years back, to do this. This is what he said about when he asked about doing the cover for that. He says it was a Predator alien ripoff is what the game appeared to be. So I supplied a Predator alien style pick with ripped Arnie Predator poses. The white areas were left for screenshots to be dropped in, a thoroughly boring job to do. Although a couple of my survivalist bodybuilder buddies said NAM obsessed mates thought it was cool. And that was what he thought. But that was from exotica.org.uk. They have a great they had like all these interviews with this guy over the years, and he gave all of his opinions about the artwork he did for these different games and stuff. I linked it in the show notes. It's fantastic read.
One of the things we didn't mention, the origin of the Konami code, someone in the chat just reminded me, is this game. If you did the Konami code on the console version of the game, or maybe it worked on the arcade. I don't even know, actually.
It didn't start here, but it was most well known for the Contra.
So right.
That's where it really
Which bums me out, because it's 2022 and Konami's up to nothing right now. They kind of aren't doing anything. They got really heavy into that pachinko scene, which is now suffering real bad in Japan. As people are starting to, you know, that's starting to lose its legs. I don't know if that means we're going to see a resurgence, but really not since the last major Metal Gear Solid game, which, or Metal Gear, what was that called? That really good one. It's like 2015 it came out. Can't think of the name of it. Anyway, since then, there hasn't been much. And it,
right.
It's a bummer to me because Konami has some of the great, you know, greatest game IPs of all time, whether it's something like Castlevania or this, Contra, or a million others. And I really wish they would, I don't know. I wish they'd get back into it because they used to be such a force, man. Such a big deal.
They were. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
There it is, Phantom Pain.
That was the one where you crawled for like 30 minutes for the first 30 minutes of the game, right?
Yeah, you were in the hospital or whatever it was, trying to get out of there, and then you saw a whale in the sky.
Amazing game.
Yeah, it's amazing. Do you remember that whale? There's a whale in the sky. It was crazy, and they never explained it.
Why not? Why not?
They never went back and said, hey, remember that whale? Here's why. They didn't even bother. It was just like...
Right.
All right, there's a whale.
That's right. The Konami code back when we was talking about that, it gives you 30 lives after doing the button combination at the title screen.
Yeah, which is...
That is about the only way you're going to successfully complete Contra.
Yeah, even the original game is chaos. If you listen to this audio, you can tell.
Three-way scroll.
Whoops, that's the ad we played. Here it is.
I don't know. I love this.
That was great. This is 87. This is raw arcade audio. I mean, it was some loud, you know, if I play my 80s arcade sounds, let's see, is it this one?
It's in there somewhere.
Beat this one here. Somewhere back there, you're hearing Contra, because you just can't help it.
Wow.
Contra was a loud, insane, like the ultimate, like, hey, what if adrenaline and testosterone were just packaged in a thing you could put a quarter in, you know?
Right.
And then like play that thing all day. And then it was really hard and so punishing that you either gave up forever and never touched it again, or you spent all your money mastering it. And so you did. And you ran from left to right, which is pretty common with these things. And little did they probably know at the time. I don't know. And it's the arcade version, by the way, ugliest sin, I think. It's an ugly video game.
Well, compared to some of the ports, I think it actually looks pretty good when you start really digging down there. Some of the ports look all right, but yeah, I think the arcade may be the, in as usual, is probably the best looking version of these because there's so much more power in an arcade machine than most of the other machines out there.
Yeah,
for home use.
It's not like there aren't, you know, uglier games of the era. There certainly are. This one just for whatever reason struck me as just a nasty looking ass thing. Chat here, I'll show you a little bit. This is the one I like. Wrong one. Damn it. I'll find the one I want. We'll talk about that game later. But anyway, the arcade version of the game is... it is what it is, and it had a really important place. But I'm just here to tell you, after playing a lot of Contra this last week, I played a ton. I know you did too. I played every version of Contra I could get my hands on, from every platform, from arcade all the way to whatever console I could get it on, with the exception of any 3D stuff. I stayed the 2D era. But there were some
I'll even consider the 3D trash Contra. And you can be mad at me. It's okay. You can disagree, absolutely. But
yeah.
That's not my Contra.
No, that ain't not my Contra, I always say. That's what I say.
As a matter of fact, I think we should say what we're going to talk about. So we're going to try to hit as much Contra as we can during this episode, but it's primarily going to be from 87 to 94, and that's going to be excluding the Contra Force that was on the NES, but it's mostly going to be the side-scrolling Contra, right? It's not going to be any of the 3D stuff later on or anything. It's going to be that, because that, to me, is where Contra lives.
Right. And the Contra, the 3D stuff was still kind of 2.5D anyway. It was just a graphic improvement, really. But those games aren't considered classics the way that the 2D ones are. The 16-bit era, I think, is where they kind of peaked in terms of their, I don't know, how good they got. While sticking to what made Contra great, I feel like they did a pretty good job in the 16-bit era of doing that. There's some decent handheld versions, but we're going to mainly focus on run and gun as a 2D thing. Because run and gun now, I mean, hell, you could call Doom a run and gun. You could call... you know, half the FPS genre a run and gun genre or series of games that are just in 3D or pseudo 3D. So we're not going to get into those so much, although I am looking forward to an episode eventually where we get deep into Doom and Hexen and Heretic and all these games that were rad back then in the early 90s. But anyway, Contra did have that weird, I'm looking at it now, that weird run up and down the hall and shoot in front of you kind of mode. Do you remember this?
The designer of Contra, it thought it would be a good idea to break up the side scrolling shoot 'em ups with this over the shoulder look, and I don't think it really it kind of breaks it for me a little bit. Now you may have some nostalgia and you like really like this little, it's essentially a mini game, right?
Yeah,
I mean, because it doesn't feel like the rest of the game, and it actually goes by pretty quickly. It's not nearly as hard or as challenging as the other parts of the game. So
yeah, I agree. I think they were trying to do a unique thing. It comes off a little gimmicky now.
Right.
You know, like anything where, I don't know, like Nintendo does this a lot. Whatever the gimmick of their current hardware is, you have to live through whatever implementation of the Wii mote and waving it, even though, you know, Super Mario Galaxy is one of the greatest games ever made. But I don't want to be waving no Wii remote around. Nobody does, right?
So, nobody wants to do that.
No. So to me, it's like that a little bit. It's like, hey, what if we made this pseudo 3D forward thing, even though it kind of looks like shit and takes you out of the rest of the game? You know, it's a fun experiment, but it's not why people come to Contra. They come to Contra for this scrolling, the verticality, the insane guns, the multiplayer, the difficulty, all that kind of stuff. But it wouldn't stop there, Brian. We got the arcade, of course. Let's go back to some of the games that others might say, these are more like the run and gun thing, Scott. Why are you saying that Contra deserves the credit? And that would be games like Sheriff. Do you remember Bandito or Sheriff on the in the arcade? That was
I don't remember Sheriff from the arcade from 1979 with the artwork from Miyamoto, who he talked about in the Donkey Kong episode. But I did look at it, and it was fascinating. And this was the as far as I could tell, it was the earliest pure run and gun.
Kinda. I'd say it's a lot closer. Well, don't you feel like it was a lot closer to like Robotron? It was more like an arena, you know, you're not scrolling or anything, but you still had to run around and shoot shit, I guess.
You were still surrounded by stuff, and you were running and you were gunning. You were doing the two things that are in the title.
Yeah.
You're running. You can't stand still, right? And you're gunning.
Yeah.
So that's the two things.
Yeah, you gotta run and then you got a gun.
I mean, that's the thing. That's what you're doing.
That's right. No one does endless gunners. They just do endless runners.
Right. And I didn't dig deep enough to see if it did one of the things that I really think sets it apart. Because like Berserk, really, you could say is a run and gun, but it's not really the reason why. The thing that really separates was a true run and gun is the power ups. So you do have the run and gun, but so when you get to the power ups that you're really talking about, what we think of when we do run and gun, because it's just the effect of starting out as the basic. And then you upgrade as you're fighting on the fly, and you get super strong, and you get in this kind of rhythm, and then you die, and then you have to start back over again. And that defines
it. I think that's a great way of putting it. I think other games have taken that and ran with it in other ways and created genres of their own. I was playing Metroid today, and it was a good reminder that Metroid at its core is you starting with nothing and running to the right until you have to go up or down and acquiring better weapons as you go. It's not mindless, just shoot everything and try to survive, but it's got pieces of that in there. And I think it propelled a lot of different kind of subgenres forward. Other games like Frontline from the arcade, Taito made that. Sega Ninja, which is a bit
Did you see Frontline?
No, I haven't looked at Frontline.
Frontline cracks me up. I don't mean to. It's kind of pause it, but yeah, Frontline cracks me up the way it looks. The characters in it, it's hilarious. The way he runs. I don't know if you've ever seen the primary character in that, but it is just a Taito game.
We're looking right now. Oh yeah, look at that. I do remember this game.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and I forgot. Just,
what is wrong? What is his feet doing, man? What is
this game? Yeah, no, I remember this now. I've played this, and I remember at the time thinking, "Wow, look at this!" But really, this isn't great. This is really ugly.
How do we represent top down leg motion?
Yeah,
like this.
Do 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 do
do do do. You can just hear the music. You don't have to hear the music to know he's going do 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 do.
I'll play it here. You can hear it. Some of it, maybe. Why can't I hear it? Oh,
there it is. Yeah.
That's the running.
And those who are listening on the podcast, it looks exactly like it sounds.
Oh, yeah. No, whatever you're picturing, you've got it. You nailed it.
You nailed it.
Another good example of this would be, like I mentioned, Sega Ninja. This is a game I didn't play much in the arcades, but concept was similar. Their Shinobi series would sort of take some of this and move it forward. But you're a little ninja dude running around, hucking stars, you know, getting ninja shit done. Which is cool. Everybody likes
doing your ninja thing. Yeah. It was called Sega Ninja, I had no trouble finding a ninja game, by the way. That was my first search for that game. I thought that's not going to work.
Yeah, but there you go. Commando. We've talked about Commando quite a bit on the show before. I think Commando may even get its own deep dive at some point.
Absolutely. Now, could say Contra defined run and gun, but I think, you know, Commando was a huge influence within the designers who are doing Contra. So, I mean, you can't not talk about Commando.
Yeah, Commando probably got more quarters of mine anyway, and I think it was because it was a little less punishing than Contra for me. I felt like it was a little more wide open. I could get a lot more done. I mean, if I played it now, I probably would suck real bad, and I might actually play this later and see how I feel.
Right. And no brand confusion at all. The Commando, the video game, and Commando, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, came out the same year, and that was pretty fortunate for Capcom, because I'm sure they got a little residual effect off of that.
Oh, for sure.
Even though,
I would agree with that. See if this rings a bell at all to you right here. I'm going to play this. Where is it? I got to find it. Here it is. Nope. Yeah, this.
Are the Russians coming?
The Russian is coming. The Rush In attack. So, Russian Attack, this is an NES version, by the way.
Right.
You can kind of tell. Russian Attack was a very popular game among my friends. And it didn't. It was one of those games where I'm sure they would rather just say Russian, because it's all about killing Russians. But instead, really somebody got weird about it and said, no, we can't do that. So, it's Rush, like R-U-S-H, and then apostrophe N attack.
Yeah. So and like, this is coming out of Konami too.
Yeah.
This is a few years prior to Contra.
Yeah, this is some bit before, but you could argue it's had a little bit of an impact there.
And Hiroshita, who was the director and head designer of the Contra arcade game, named Commando and Russian Attack is two of his influences.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's Ikari Warriors, which is basically Rambo top down run and gun.
We were getting into, so look at that. That is such a Rambo. We're really getting into the one man army movies that are starting to come out. We've got, you know, Aliens and Rambo and Commando.
Yeah.
And they're just all just making big influences on people, and it's starting to really show.
Oh, there was no getting around it. I mean, this is what this one sounds like. This, by the way, this is SNK, so this is like, you know, Neo Geo Town USA here going on.
I was no good when I got in the tank. I was no good ordinarily either, but when I would get in the tank, it was really bad. And I loved how the characters, they're so dramatic when they die.
Yeah, they had game. Great
it's,
deaths.
It's hilarious.
Amazing deaths. They spin around and fall back. Yeah. And having dipped my toe into a bunch of Neo Geo stuff recently, SNK stuff in general, it's a lot of fun. Playing their older games. There's some really weird stuff in here. So Ikari Warriors, that's definitely one of those.
This was the two players. So we're looking at the two man army. So it's dangerous to go alone. Take a friend with you.
Oh yeah, always. I just recommend that no matter what. It's like podcasting. Take a friend.
Yeah, take a friend.
All right, here's one I like a lot. A lot of people look at this one and think, well, this is the ultimate, and that would be Rolling Thunder. Rolling Thunder, highly regarded by all my gaming friends, and I put a lot of quarters in this thing. Namco made it, and you know, it's more like a spy dude running side to side.
He's more like the James Bond run and gun, and this was probably the one I played the most back. The most run and gun was probably this.
Oh, in the arcade for sure. I think 100% for me as well. Here's some sound from that. I love the death sounds. That's great. And the bad guys all look like Cobra Commander dudes.
They do. They're all got those long hoods and things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Purpley hoods and yellow hoods.
Interesting design choice on that game.
Then but I used to love how he would like rappel over top of the, like, you know, other characters would, you know, jump off platforms, but he would always like fling his feet over the railing so he could jump down to the thing. There's always a little extra, a little touch there.
Yeah. It felt like you were you were playing a James Bond movie or some 60s era Bond movie, and all the bad guys look like Cobra Commander bad guys. And
right.
When you're that age, you're super into any of this. This is all just great.
I can't wait for us to do a whole thing on Namco because I'm a Namco guy.
Dude, Namco's great. Nothing wrong with Namco. Yeah. You know who else is great? Konami.
Konami.
They were great. Now they're pachinko weirdos, but they were great back in the day.
Now, were they good to work for? In the last couple of episodes, I really focused on interviews with game developers and designers from these periods. And I have a lot harder time. Konami kept really tight wraps. Either they hired people that wouldn't talk or they threatened people to not talk because there's a few suggestions that it was, you know, a really strict place to work.
Yeah.
But it was also really cool and laid back in some ways too. So I couldn't get a full feeling of what Konami is like.
I'm guessing they were like a lot of Japanese tech at the time. They were just known for sort of a hardcore adherence to rules. And if you mess up, you're out of here and as we do what we say and toe the line. And, you know, there's just not a lot of probably creative freedom, but maybe some of that stringentness made them what they became. I don't know. But whoever idiot is in charge of the pachinko line, F off.
Hey, man, they made some big money for a really long time. And, if that ship has sailed, that's fine. But they made some serious Konami money, right?
Oh, of course they did.
They did good. Yeah. So they'll just have to, you know, diversify a little bit. Now, the stories I did read about Konami where people were talking about it, they said this is mostly journalists going in, and they would say that the developers had their own floor each. So like the arcade division for would have their own floor, and then the NES division would have whatever designs are doing for whichever console, they would have their own floor, and so on and so forth.
Would they they'd never meet in the middle? Nobody would ever go to lunch
and only people that really met was, I believe it was like, they had like the Konami House Band, which is one of the best. Konami has some of the best music. They really just have
fantastic
music stuff. So
yeah. When we get to a certain version of Konami, it's my favorite soundtrack. I freaking love it. I listened to it today without the game on, just had the soundtrack going because it's cool, man. And it wasn't even playing on the best 16-bit chip at the time, which we'll get to in a second. So tons came after. We'll get back to Contra itself and how they make these games in a second. But I just wanted to mention a couple and actually test you a little. Do you know what this sound is right here, Brian? Enjoy this. Where is it? Here it is.
Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law.
You mean one of the most profitable games, arcade games ever?
Yeah, RoboCop, baby. That's a good game. It just came a year after Contra as well.
Right.
And it looks good. Like, legit still looks good, that game, I think.
Right.
My favorite thing about this is if I can find it. It's the way these guys die, but also... All right, so let me see if I can find this. Toward the end here, I think they predicted COVID. Yeah, here it is. Listen to this. Did you hear it? COVID.
It did kind of sound like that. What did Data East know?
What did they know and when did they know it? Okay, personal story time. I know people apparently like this when I have some childhood moments.
My favorite
part
is sit down, people. We're about to get a story.
Well, you mentioned Data East, and
yes,
they are the company that my dad partnered with early in the 80s. This had been like 82, 83, and 84. He partnered with Data East to be the place he would get games from that would then come here. He would put them in cabinets and then put them in, the arcades and stuff here. And it was, at the time, he was an exclusive U.S. distributor. Nobody else was using Data East way back in those days. So he was he brought over a game called Zor. He brought over a game called Zor was the first stereophonic game in an arcade, which was kind of unique. What's the one I always show the art from? Lock and Chase was kind of their answer to Pac-Man. They had a golf game that we all liked quite a bit that we had back in the day. And we used to have these boards out and we're testing them all the time. So we'd get these shipments from Data East, break that stuff open, build video games out of them. And then when the market took a dump and the home market exploded, they very smartly started making shit for home consoles.
Right.
They kept doing arcade things, but mostly Data East started leaning hard into console games, and they've made some really great ones. Arcade-wise, RoboCop's considered one of the best running guns ever made, which is kind of funny because, you know, usually these IP games, nobody cares about those things.
IP games never work, right? Mm-hmm. They never work. But for some reason, Opper Murphy. He did his thing in 1988 at the arcade.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. And he walks, you know, he walks down the street looking all badass. I don't know how they get that license in the first place. Here he is shooting some dudes. He just looks good. Look at him.
Yeah.
Just whipping his gun around, putting it in his pants. Well, it's not his pants, but his leg thing. You know,
his leg.
Thing. What is that called? RoboCop had like a little leg.
It would eject. His leg would open up, and his leg hole would open up, and he would just, you know, stick it out there. That's what he did.
Yep. And this game also, I'm looking at it right now, featured a weird pseudo first person view part of the game. Which,
yes, we were trying to get there, and it just wasn't there yet.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't quite there yet. He would make a triumphant return, RoboCop, that is, in a game we'll talk about later called Broforce, where he plays RoboCop.
I forgot about that. If you ever play Broforce, it should be on Steam still. You should really.
Oh, it absolutely is, and it's one of my favorite side-scrolling things of all time. It's so good. But I don't think it exists without these. So these are all really important to the existence of games like that. All right, Brian, what about this one? I got a lot of sounds here. We'll just rip through these. Does this sound familiar?
Mission 1, start.
Now.
Sound familiar to you?
Not really, but I wasn't familiar with this game, but I believe it's the game that Ryan on Twitter blasted out to us on Play Retro Show. And is it a C64 game? Is it a Commodore 64 game?
Incorrect.
Oh, no. Is this the Konami game then?
No, this is an SNK game. And this is Metal Slug. One. Metal Slug.
Oh, you jumped to Metal Slug. I got you. You jumped way years. You jumped almost a whole decade. I thought you were still like in the
middle. Metal Slug was much later. You're right. In the 90s, they made probably the most advanced animation of any of these. Still to this day, it's the most fluid-looking, amazing thing. There's a new Metal Slug game being made right now that is called Metal Slug Tactics, which is like a turn-based thing, which I'm very excited about when that comes out. But I put a lot of quarters in Metal Slug, and you had to because you died a lot in Metal Slug. But Metal Slug
by 96, I wasn't at the arcade much. Mm. I was mostly at home.
Yeah. Well, see, by 96, it was starting to revive. You know, like the arcades were something again. I don't know what they are now. I don't know what you even compare them to now. But
they're all people like us looking for that retro nostalgia goodness.
Yeah, I guess so. But there's something about that game and, you know, the Neo Geo / SNK arcade hardware was capable of so much more in the 2D realm.
Yeah.
And it just was awesome. Now, the only big complaint I have about Metal Slug is despite all of that, because they went so hardcore on animation and crazy stuff happening on screen all the time and, you know, everything was super, super animated, is it caused slowdown no matter where you played it. So if you were on the arcade, it would slow down during a crazy fight. If you're looking at it now, you're seeing a scene where that happens. When you play it on any of the console versions, with the exception of the Neo Geo Pocket games that they made, Mission 1 and Mission 2, those didn't really have that. But the slowdown was like a hallmark of the series, and it was kind of funny
we call that a feature.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is they were almost proud of it. They're just like, look at this, all the shit we did, it makes the game crawl, isn't that great?
We're killing it.
Yeah, but I freaking loved that series. It's just so good.
I never really got heavy into Metal Slug, which makes me sad, because I never really played much of Contra until we did this time around. And oh my God, now I may be one of the biggest Contra fans you'll ever meet.
Yeah, it's another fun thing about this show is there's going to be times where we'll play something we never really got into before and end up really liking it. And there are some run and gun games I picked up I'd never heard of. Like, do you remember Master Blaster? The little hopping robot machine that shot stuff. I can't remember.
Maybe what was it called?
It's not Master Blaster.
Master Blaster, yes. Oh, who runs Master Blaster?
That runs. He runs Bartertown. Hold on, let me think.
Yeah, so it's Blaster.
Master.
Blaster Master. So it's Blaster first before the Master.
I think. Yeah, Blaster Master. Yeah. That's it.
Right.
He doesn't run Bartertown. Anyway, that is awesome. I didn't know that was even a thing. Never played it. Never saw it. That's a really cool game, and I got really into it this week. So
we got some really love. We got a lot of love coming in the chat room for that game. So it must be at least well beloved somewhere.
Yeah, the SNES version of it is really good. The NES version is really good. It's just a very cool. I'm going to play more of that. Is what I'm saying. That game was very good.
Right.
There's others like, you know, Gunstar Heroes has a soft. I have a soft spot for it. Here's a bit of that. You can hear him blowing stuff up already. This stuff is good here. Of that game was just like chaotic nonstop shoot, which is, you know,
we're on the Genesis, right?
Yeah, Genesis
1993.
Yep.
Yeah, Gunstar Heroes Genesis. Genesis has a little a beefier CPU than the SNES, and it is really good at putting a lot of stuff moving really fast.
Yes, that was
not
really
necessarily doesn't look necessarily as good, but it is definitely faster.
Right. We probably at some point should get something on the show where we talk about that particular console war and why the differences were what they were.
Gunstar Heroes was from Treasure, and they made this game at the same time as they were making that McDonald's game we talked about, McDonald's Treasure Land a few episodes back. And this is actually how they got Gunstar Heroes on the Genesis. The deal was because they couldn't get a license to put stuff or a contract to put stuff on the Genesis. And so they made an agreement that they would do that McDonald's thing if they could put Gunstar Heroes on there. So you could thank McDonald's for that great running gun.
Yeah. They, by the way, have not done anything since 2014. They made a 3DS game and that was it.
Yeah.
That's bums me out.
And those, by the way, those guys left Konami.
Oh, these are ex-Konami folks. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're ex-Konami folks. So they know the running guns.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Gunstar, or is it? Yeah, Gunstar Heroes. Did they have a 32X version, or am I making that up? I might be making that up.
I don't remember a 32X version, but doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean I don't know what I'm talking about.
Shoot, I may have that wrong. Anyway, I remember some version of that game playing better than the Genesis version, and I remember thinking, well, this is the only shooter type thing I'm ever going to need again. I'll never need to play another video game. That's how much I loved Gunstar Heroes. It was a really, really cool game. You mentioned briefly Sunset Riders. That was another Konami joint. A lot of people really like that. There's Turrican, which is a Commodore 64. Is that the one he was talking about in the tweet?
Yeah, that's what Ryan had blasted out to the Twitter, and it was Turrican, and it was on the C64. Rainbow Arts, which I haven't heard in forever.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Kind of forgot about Rainbow Arts. But that thing is a huge series of games that is there's even something new coming out. And I was like, how did I miss this completely? I love my C64, but it was a little later on, I think, in the life cycle of that.
I love that walk C64. Animation, that run animations.
Look
awesome.
How good that looks. Is that for this? That must be on the C64, right?
I think so. But anyway, I know.
Yeah. So, wow. Look at that. That looks fantastic. But I have no idea.
The Amiga,
I
Amiga
still
500.
Dive in.
Amiga 500, just for the record.
Okay, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it looked way too good for a C64. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't know anything about the series, so thank you for educating me on that. And now I've got to dig in deep, and maybe one day we'll do an episode just about that.
Yeah, we should do at some point. Like I was thinking of Hard Hat Mac the other day, which was, you know, purely a C64 and an Apple IIe game. You know, you didn't get it anywhere else. It's kind of a Mario ripoff. But it was pretty good in its own right. And I think those get short shrift sometimes because they're not mainstream.
Look how contra this is, except for the part where he turns into crystals and he flies away.
Yeah, what's that crystal bit? He's like Edward from the Twilight series.
Yeah, I guess that's like the equivalent of the Contra 3 shield bubble thing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, that game looks great.
A lot more platform here, too.
Yeah. How'd you play this? On a keyboard if you had this, I guess? I assume so.
Were there controllers? Yeah. That was always the complaint on the C64 anyway. Lots of times they would relegate you, especially like Contra. I think you had to use the 64 version of Contra, you had to use the space bar. You couldn't remap it. That was the only way you could jump. And that's infuriating because if you played Contra, it's all about learning these, you know, these movement patterns, and you know, it's you have to do like these key combinations to really get into it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it'd be frustrating.
Let's get back to that for a second. The NES version is different from the arcade version. It had longer stages than Contra did in the arcade. It had numerous other modifications. And in Japan, the Famicom version of the thing, which Famicom was, you know, NES in Japan, used a VRC2 chip in the cartridge, which allowed for additional background animation cutscenes that were not included in North America or Europe.
So Famicom got all the great stuff.
I know. It's bastards.
I've seen some video of this, and it was fantastic. They really did rip us off.
Yeah, they kind of did. I feel like it. There were some other versions done outside Japan of the original game by Ocean in Europe for the C64, CPC, and ZX. Also, Banana Software in North America did the DOS version. I remember seeing the DOS version at one point.
I investigated the DOS version, and it sucked potatoes. Yeah,
it's not
it
good.
It sucked potatoes. First of all, it just had like a very limited color palette, so it was a lot of browns. And on top of that, it was a... There was no way to stop running. You ran.
Yeah.
It was like always running, and the only way you could stop was to go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It just didn't look well. Here's some video chat. You can kind of
see. Oh, look how stripped down that looks.
Yeah.
After looking at the arcade version a few minutes ago.
It's very stripped down. Look at the controls they stick you with. Gosh dang it. Ugh.
Oh, using a keyboard to play this. No, I'm out.
Yeah, gross. Let's see if I can get some audio out of it. I'm sure.
Contra's already hard enough without.
This looks so bad.
Two people sharing the same keyboard too. Oh,
yeah.
Now I will give them this.
Sorry, that's just horrendous. Sorry.
They do look more like aliens, though. I'll give them that. It's not Probotector. It looks like humans and it looks like humans and aliens.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
What do you know about the Contra storyline?
Nothing. I know nothing. Why don't you give me a taste? It's like aliens and bullshit, right? You're like
it's,
Arnold.
Right. It's like aliens and bullshit. You nailed it.
Yeah.
So
the third one on the SNES is called
Alien Wars.
The Alien Wars, right?
And by the way, 3 is the best one. So yeah, even from the very beginning, it's all about aliens.
Hold on now. You say 3 is the best one, do you?
By far, Contra 3 is the Alien Wars is by far the best one.
I'm going to say no. You are incorrect, by the way. I'm going to say
out of the ones we review today,
by far the better one is Hardcore. That one rocks. That's the one I played the most this week. No.
Alien Wars way there. So the story is there's aliens and they came to Earth because we apparently took something from them. So we send out these commandos who have never been defeated, and they've ran the aliens off. By the way, if you're anywhere else in the world, the year is like 2633 AD.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in America, it's 1987.
Yeah.
For some reason. We can deal with aliens now. Now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've ticked off the aliens, and they've come down to retrieve their stolen item, but we don't like that, so we're going to run them off the planet because we're humans, and that's what we do.
Yeah, that's how we do
and
it.
And that's kind of the idea. So
yeah, we take what we want, Brian. We just take it.
We just take what we want.
Yeah,
man.
It's the food chain thing. You know, we got the food chain. Look out, everyone. Where's that food chain? Right here. We got it. It's ours.
I can't believe you think that the Mega Drive Genesis Contra Hardcore. Now, granted, I will give you, it is one of the faster of the games.
It's not just that. I thought the enemy designs were cooler. It was like watching an HR Giger looking art
Giger
contest,
which makes sense, right?
Yeah, and it's got like some of those bosses are gnarly. The whole thing is like a freaking, it's a test to see if you have seizures or not, I swear. But it's, just listen to this. I'll play a little bit, okay? So we got a little bit of both. I didn't know we were going to have this beef today, but here's my favorite Contra in audio. Lock and loaded, baby. All right, now we're in. And let me say this. You can't tell there from the sound, but he just drove in on a truck, ran over about 10 robots, hopped out with his gun, and kept running. Best intro to a Contra game ever made. Listen to that. soundtrack's amazing. It's great. Okay.
Are you telling me that the Sega Genesis has better sound processing than the SNES?
No, I'm going to say that the music's better. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Because I agree with you about the visual quality. Boy, the SNES Genesis Wars are back, everybody. They're just happening on the show.
They really are.
But what was I going to say? Here, I'll go back to the beginning so you see where this guy starts. It's incredible. Hold on. Here we go. So he comes running in after you do your little preview with the dude. It's all super metal and 90s and just terrible, right?
Not saying it's not badass. I'm saying that it's no three.
Look at that. Comes in at a big old armored truck, slams into a car, and now he's just tearing people apart with guns.
Sega, you're always blasting your way in, but where's the long-term relationship we need?
I don't know. I've been having more Genesis fun lately than almost anything, and I don't know why that is, but it's great. Anyway, so that's my pick. Now, Brian, if I was going to play a little sound from 3, let's hear that. Here we go. Bassier, you know.
Yeah.
A little less twingy on the ears, but still pretty chaotic. Yeah. I played a bunch of that as well. I just didn't enjoy myself the way I did in hardcore.
I like to play the basic characters, like playing Lance Grisor, the game that was named after. You know, the game was named Grisor as well, so it was Lance.
Lance Grisor, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like picking my characters. I guess you like that, right? You like picking your characters in that Sega trash?
Well,
I'm kidding. I love that game, actually, but...
I found a list. According to thegamer.com...
Thegamer.com.
Yeah, they give the edge to you. They give it to Contra 3 Alien Wars, but only barely. Okay. Right below that, they've got Contra Hardcore on the Genesis. They really like that.
Right.
And then after that, Contra 4 for the DS. Contra, the original arcade. Then Super Contra after that at number 5. Number 6, Operation C, which I never played. It's a Game Boy game. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Game Boy game, right? I think so.
Yeah. I actually like the Game Boy games.
Yeah, you think those are all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never played them. Let's see. Contra Rebirth at 7. That was a 2D one still. What was this on? This was on... Neo... No. Is this Neo Geo? I can't find where it is. Somewhere. Contra Shattered Soldier, which was a 3D PS1 looking piece of business.
See, now you're getting... What number are you at?
Number 8.
Yeah, we've already left the good stuff.
I agree. 9, we got Hardcore Uprising, which was an Xbox Marketplace thing and PlayStation Network thing. Never played it.
Right.
And then 10th, they give it to Neo Contra, which is where Morpheus contacts Contra.
Was it located in New Kobe? Isn't that where? No, I'm serious because it seems like it was like Neo Kobe was the name of the...
Here's what it says. Neo Contra is the second Contra game to be released for the PlayStation 2. Rather than a side-scrolling perspective, most other games in the series have. The Neo Contra is overhead perspective, similar to that of Smash TV and Robotron, through some levels, although some levels offer different perspectives. It seems like it might be okay. You know, right. I like a top-down shootery piece of business.
Yeah. It's all right.
All right. Back to some of this Operation C one I'm kind of curious about. That's Game Boy.
I did emulate that, and I thought it was fine. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty fun. I would have really liked that.
I like that you kept Contra Hardcore off this list until the very end with a tiny blurb. I see how you are. I see how you're a little.
I just ran out of time. It was all just chronological. Brian ran out of time. Brian bit off. Okay, look. When Scott, this is Scott every week. We should do an episode on something like Running Gun. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. What are we going to cover? Contra? Cool. I never really got to play Contra. That can't be much. Gunstar Heroes and Metal Slug. Sweet.
Yeah.
I got 5 minutes into my Contra sandwich, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a ton here.
I'm in trouble.
There's a ton here. We bit off more than we can chew, so we're chewing the bits we can, and we'll leave the rest on the table.
I knew Contra was everywhere. I knew that Konami wants, like, it wants, like, Doom is on everything. Konami wants Contra on every freaking device ever. So you're just constantly getting updates on the new machines. Mm-hmm. So it's always coming out somewhere. But yeah, I didn't realize how many games had been.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy.
I know, it is crazy. Now, some people, myself included, I was always curious about the name. Thing comes out in the 80s. What's big in the 80s? The Contra thing that was happening in politics.
Yes, the Iran-Contra ordeal.
Yeah.
That we had here in the U.S. Apparently, our president thought it would be a good idea to allow some of his people to sell weapons to one bad place.
Yeah,
take buy weapons from ourselves, and then give those to some Nicaragua. Yeah. I can't say Nicaragua.
That's a hard name to
Nicaragua.
Say. I feel you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So you say Nicker like your underwear, so like British underpants.
Nicker. Then, they go Nicaragua. That's
then Agua like water.
No, I was wrong.
Yeah, Nicker.
Right.
Agua.
Nicaragua.
Anyway.
I'm not going to be able to do it. Anyway.
Look at this robot chasing this guy in hardcore. Look at him. Look at this. Raising his arms.
That's pretty hilarious.
Oh, that's so good. That's not even Mode 7. That's a freaking Genesis. Look at that.
Right.
Anyway.
That's pretty great.
Sorry. I don't mean to continue to pound my chest.
I wasn't going to mention this one, but that's actually better than I thought. I don't know. I left a few of these things out because I was like, I just don't have time to also.
Well, no, this is I'm going to 100% back you on this. There is a lot of Contra, more than you think there is. And that's good. It was popular and it's expected to succeed or whatever. Check this out. The American version of the game was set in contemporary times. So like you mentioned earlier, set in 87 as opposed to in the future. Which was 2633? That's what you said, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, 2633 is where the original Contra started. That's when we had to go fight the aliens.
Yeah. And correct. Then here's my favorite part. The name of those two dudes in the Japanese game were Bill and Lance. Here, they didn't think that was cool enough. They changed it to Mad Dog and Scorpion.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mad Dog and Scorpion.
Mad Dog and Scorpion, baby. It's pretty cool.
That's the one. Let me say something about Contra series.
Yeah.
No consistency other than Run and Gun and the base story. Other than that, you might get any name of anything.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You might even live in the UK somewhere and may have had to play the robot version, Probotector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to have that experience? Live life to its fullest. Never look back, I say. Play whatever version of Contra you can get. And if one guy's name is Bill and another one's named Mad Dog, it's fine. It's fine. Look at him killing motorcycle guys in hardcore. Oh, my gosh.
This really is hardcore.
Yeah.
I feel bad for leaving it off the list now.
It's metal as shit. Okay. That's all I'm saying. It's like, it in a way panders to the thing Sega was pushing down our throats, but absolutely. Does so successfully. Like,
right.
I'm not Mr. Blast Processor. I don't love that stuff. I think it's all like, we do what Nintendo don't, that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just a little much, but when they would pull off this insanity, I was there for it. I was into it. Like, look how ridiculous this is. All you have to do is watch this and just realize how dumb this is. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, all they were trying to do really is to appeal to the older kids, aka, you know, the teenagers that were in high school and those kind of guys, so that they could win over all the little brothers and sisters and get them off the Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, and it worked in some ways.
And it worked until Sony came in and said, hold my beer.
Also, they did get to a point where the Genesis was selling at, it was actually ahead of the SNES at one point. And I remember Sega fanboys celebrating that at the time, like, yeah, dude, that's right, because it's, you know, Genesis is awesome or whatever. But it was going to be short-lived, because Nintendo doesn't leave. They don't just walk out of the room. And then B, Sony was about to change everybody's lunch menu.
Yeah, they really were. But Sega, you know, I've been reading all these interviews with these Japanese developers specifically, and a lot of them talk about, you know, the sprite drawing was just so much faster on the Sega. So it was just, you could do things you couldn't do game speed wise that you couldn't do on the NES.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry, the SNES.
Yeah, that's why Sonic was such a showcase for that. Whereas I would actually argue today Sonic is not actually a very good game. It's okay. And I have a lot of nostalgia for it.
Definitely, it definitely showcased the strongest part of the Sega.
Yeah, and it was a tech demo for that strength, and that's fine.
Right.
I'm not saying Sonic's bad. I'm saying it's not. I'm saying those Mario games are better. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, let's face it. For most of when you're playing Sonic, once you really start rolling, I mean, there's not much you're doing except watching pixels go by really fast. Sprites go wee.
See, look at this right now. He's fighting constellations. They're stars that form into like Apollo or whatever. And the stars come back together in the form of something else. And then he's got to shoot those because this is the cool Contra.
Right.
Look at that.
This is the cool Contra.
He's fighting constellations.
Okay. Let me ask you this. This looks cool. But out of the gameplay that I had, I had a better gameplay experience with Contra 3. I felt more like I was progressing. I felt like things were, you know, I felt like I was learning something and progressing. Like there was a curve of improvement. Whereas I just didn't feel that in hardcore. I felt like, what's going on right now?
Yeah, it is a little insane.
I was doing good,
and this
and
person
now I'm doing bad.
This person that I'm watching, by the way, that we're showing this video from, he finishes the game without a single death.
Yeah.
And finishes all and does all the endings. So he's some sort of insane person that does.
Yeah, he's really good. So don't take his gameplay.
No.
You should. I'll be curious. I would love to see Scott. How far did you make it?
I didn't make it past yet. I mean, I played it over and over, but I've gotten as far as, I think, the first boss, and then I die.
Yeah, because you're an average Contra player.
Yeah,
that's as far as the average Contra player will make it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And people should know that going in. This game, even though it's a console game, it felt like it still wanted your quarters when you played it.
It does.
Yeah.
It did. And I had to recruit a 14-year-old to come in here and to play Player 2 with me. So that I could get a couple of stages in on Contra 3. So it was good.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious because she's never played anything like a run and gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's playing this and she's a rage quitter, right?
Yeah.
She usually rage quits. She didn't rage quit. She said, this is so frustrating. She said, but I can see why people like it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. Even this 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Not old school retro.
Yeah.
Could take a look, a fresh new look. And see this.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Now, I want to just talk briefly about Broforce because I don't think people know enough about it, give it enough credit or appreciate it, or maybe even know it exists. It's ridiculous and over the top. The entire point of Broforce is to be as ridiculous and over, you know, Americanized commando style Rambo as possible. And they have a ton of characters that are obviously based on real characters, like right now on the screen.
Right, it's, the one-man armies, right? They're based out there, all the action stars of the 80s, 90s.
So this is Judge Dredd. He's called, I think, just Bro Dredd or Judge Bro or something like that.
Judge Bro's better.
You don't remember, actually, but there's tons of them. John McClane's in this. This right now, it's I think that's Texas Walker or Walker Texas Ranger.
Texas Walker.
Whatever his name is.
You get them all backwards.
I got them all backwards. But I got Neo in here from The Matrix. They call him Brino or something. It's like all bro names. And and what I like about it, actually, is the pacing isn't ridiculous. You can kind of slow down and make decisions. The world is destructible. It's the kind of game that looks like it was made 30 years ago, but wouldn't be possible then. There's like particle effects and physics and other stuff. And if you've not played Broforce, it's getting old now. It's like 2014. But if you've never played Broforce, still worth it. Cheap as hell, I think, to get. You can get it on Switch. I know it's on PC, obviously. I'm trying to think where else. Might be on consoles as well. But just a fun throwback and modern at the same time and creative as hell. There's also a make your own levels mode. Just a wonderful game. And I can't say enough about it.
It reminds me of Super Meat Boy in the way that its visual styling is. It looks like it was made in that way.
Yeah, kind of.
With the pixel sizes and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's chunky, very chunky on the pixels.
Yeah.
It fits really well. And you can just tell by looking at the silhouette of these characters, like, you know, that's John McClane just looking at him.
Yeah, look at him. Look at that. Yeah, I mean, he's got no shoes on. He's walking on glass.
Yeah, he's wearing a wife beater.
It's obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious. Yeah. When you see RoboCop or BroboCop, you'll be like, oh, yeah, look at that.
RoboCop's great.
Yeah, RoboCop's amazing.
That makes sense.
They actually make that work for almost all of them, and I can't think of one where they didn't. Like, there's a couple of Arnold ones. There's a Terminator. That's like Terminator. I can't remember. They have one that where he's the commando guy.
This is why me and Scott have never released a cool game, because me and Scott would spend a month just trying to think of cool names, and we would never get past that part.
No,
we just have a list of cool names.
Exactly. There you go. It's very, very cool. Where can you play it today? Well, I'll tell you where. You can do like me and go buy the Contra collection on Steam and then have the sound system broken and then return it. You can do that.
Now, you did that. Was that on your PC?
It was on my PC, yes.
Okay, you bought it on Steam. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with the sound, but you did say that. If you are planning on buying the Contra collection on there's so many places like Switch, Steam. I find the easiest to buy on the Steam because it was only $3.99.
It's cheap.
I had access directly to be able to use an application that's on GitHub that allows me to extract the ROMs.
Yeah.
That makes me feel a little bit better because I didn't have any before we started this, I didn't have any ROMs that were, you know, that I acquired through a cart or anything else. I didn't have it in my possession. Mm-hmm. So this really boosted up my abilities to get that and feel at least in part like I'm doing the right thing. At least I'm protected by court cases based on your right to copy things that you have for yourself.
Well, sure.
So
yeah,
I may be breaking some terms of service. I don't know. I didn't dig that deep, but I do know I extracted the ROMs and then I played it in RetroArch using the appropriate core, as they call them, or emulator.
Yeah, and that worked okay. That actually functioned for you. You got it to work.
Oh yeah, it was no problem at all. It was
the Windows version for me. It may be a Windows 11 thing because there's a lot of audio subsystem issues with Windows 11, and I'm still kind of working through those. But there's
Rambro.
That's his name. Instead of Rambo, it's Rambro.
Rambro. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So. That tool I'm talking about on GitHub, I should have put it in the notes. Anyway, it does more than just that. I think it was originally developed to extract the ROMs from like the Sega Genesis Mini or something like that. Mm. And has since went on to include all these collections. Like there's also a Castlevania collection, which I have. Mm-hmm. And so I've increased my legitimate legal ROMs by a lot just by using this tool and extracting the
ROMs.
That's
cool. GitHub.
Yeah.
Look for it. What's it called?
Do you know? I define you keep talking.
I'll keep talking. You can also, of course, get the anniversary collection on the Switch. That's a great place to play it, by the way. That's where I've been playing a couple of versions of Metal Slug. Metal Slug 3 and Metal Slug 5, I think I own on the Switch. And they both play real well on there. Perfect device for that sort of stuff. And of course your emulators and that sort of thing, you can play it, but get hardcore and that's pretty much the only one you need. All right, moving on.
Right. GitHub is the M archive batch tool, and I didn't go source and build it myself. I just used the Windows version. There's also a Linux version as too, but like I said, it goes through a bunch of legitimate ways to get that, at least far as legality goes. I don't know. Mm. How do you feel about ROMs and the acquisition of them? You just don't think about it?
Well, most of the time, the stuff I'm playing is stuff I either have owned, already own, or don't have a way to do it. Like, I have the version of Mario Golf for the Game Boy Color. I actually have the cart. I just don't have a Game Boy Color.
Right.
So I have no problem grabbing that ROM and playing it. Like,
right.
Freaking who cares? Nintendo may not love me for it, but whatever. What are they going to do? I bought their game. Make it easier to buy your old games, Nintendo. Make that simpler.
They kind of do though. They kind of got a market for it. I mean, they've got you could get the NES, but you have to have a Switch, right?
Yeah.
So you can't play it wherever you want to. So
they sweep in and they go, stop playing our old games by getting the ROMs, and then you say, okay,
sell me. They're going back in the vault.
Then you say, sell me your old games, and then they just look at you like they don't know what you're talking about. It's like, what are you doing, Nintendo?
Mainly because they maybe they don't speak English, and maybe that's the reason why. Maybe.
Yeah. So Did you ever get someone in the chat wants to know if you ever got the Mega Drive Classics to relinquish its ROMs? Were you ever to get those out?
I didn't purchase the Mega Drive Classics. I didn't catch it on sale, so I think it's like $50 or something. But it's pretty much the same games that are on the Genesis Mini.
Oh, I think that's what they mean. I think that's what they mean. The Genesis Mini. Did you get that? Did you extract those ROMs, or are they just on there?
Yeah, I extracted those.
Oh, okay, you did do that. Okay.
And I throw ROMs back on there as well. The Sega Genesis Mini is like my favorite way to do it. There's no hassle. I mean, they didn't make it hard to do, and it just works.
I wonder what the Broforce, oh my gosh, Dirty Brory instead of Dirty Harry. I just saw him pop. Do you know what the Broforce guys are even doing these days? Let's see.
Broforce guys, what are you doing?
Let's find out. Broforce, made by... Oh, they're making. Oh, they moved to a tropical island and now they're making a new game.
I love that story.
That's a great
they
story.
They moved to a tropical island.
Yeah.
And now they're making a new game.
Yeah.
So basically, what they did was they made a ton of money on Broforce and they were able to retire to a tropical island. And then they got bored and now they're making more games.
All right. Here's what they made. You ready for this?
Give me it.
They made the Expendabros, which was a spinoff.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
They actually started with that because it was to commemorate the movie, but it was code they were using for upcoming Broforce. So the Expendabros in 2014, 2015 Broforce, 2016 Yojima Brawl. I don't know what that is.
Oh, I don't either.
Something on the Humble Bundle. 2018 Genital Jousting.
I actually remember they did that one.
That's a step backwards, in my opinion. It's fine, though. Whatever. Yeah,
that kind of humor.
2019, Gorn, which is a very good VR game.
Yeah, Gorn's really good.
Yeah, quite good VR game. Then they made something called Cricket Through the Ages for iOS and TVOS. And then to be announced, something called Terra Nil, which I don't know what that is, coming out on PC.
I think I do know that one.
Oh, it's a city builder.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I did hear about this. This is, you take a burned out old planet and you try to get the ecosystem back. That's what it is. That's because they're all super hippies now. The the important thing is Broforce still exists and you should all play it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. I think that is pretty much it. Obviously, there's a ton more to Running Guns if you
right. We didn't. I think we almost got overwhelmed with this much Contra because I really want to revisit this someday and just like really just give the entire history. I watched an amazing documentary on YouTube. It was recorded like about a year ago or so. And what is his name? I have Slopey or something like that. I think his name is
Slopey.
And he did Slopey. S-O-S-L-O-P-E. And
if you got, by the way, if you got the slow P, that means your prostate's too big. Go ahead. Keep going.
Right. So he did like an hour long video on Contra. And I mean, it is just packed full of stuff. And he's, you know, he admitted, he's like, oh, you know, I took so long to make this one. He spent months going through stuff, and I knew I was in trouble as soon as I saw that video. I'm like, oh no, I've made a mistake. I've spread my beam too far. Yeah. I've did my power up on my running gun, and it's like the beam is too large.
Yeah,
I should have narrowed it down.
Yeah,
so it was an important lesson.
I agree, but it's also it's one I'm glad that we got to talk about because it's a big one.
Think it was great.
It's a big one,
but more coming.
Yeah, more coming, more on the way. All right. What else was I going to tell you? Oh, you know what it is? It's time for Guess Our Game. Let's do this.
Destroy it.
All right, we're going to play Guess Our Game where we try to guess each other's old games. I'll give you a hint, Brian. Here's my hint. Are you ready for this? January 1st, 1994. Super Nintendo.
Oh, that is very specific. Oh, so they really were just like, yep. January the 1st, 1994. Okay.
Yep, they were like, let's get this going right this second. In the first of the new year in 94. And
that sounds like a physical year type decision, right? It's like, oh, we have to launch that.
Maybe. I don't know. Because usually you want them out by the holidays. So I don't know why they do that.
Right.
But let's find out what it is. If Brian can figure it out. Here's the audio. All right. Here you go.
Is it a running gun?
It's a gun. Let's say it's a scrolling gun. I'll give you that.
Okay. Has a tropical feel to it.
Yeah, very tropical. It's in the jungle. Jungle mountains. This is another little hint for you. Oh, that was me dying.
Wait.
I actually played this, by the way. This is me.
Wait, so what, go back to that music.
You want the brooder again? Hold on. Here it is. You hear that?
You aren't messing with me, are you?
No.
You're not messing with me, are you?
Well, what do you mean? It's a video game.
Is this Choplifter?
It's Choplifter. I decided, since the chat room says Choplifter every damn time.
Oh my god, you're such a jerk.
That I would do actual Choplifter.
But that was a giveaway once I heard the rum, 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 and I was like, oh, that's Choplifter.
And it's not the arcade. It's not all the old versions. This is a SNES version of the game called...
Yeah.
What's the name of this thing? Hold on a second.
This is the version I played probably not even 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, I can't even find it now. Where's the name? I thought I wrote it down in my hidden secret hidey hole here.
Because I was going to capture the audio and do the same thing to you.
Were you really?
That's funny. Fantastic. I didn't know it released on January the 1st, 1994, though. That's wild.
This particular game. Now I can't find where I put it. But anyway, yeah, it's the one for the... It's one. Oh, you know what? I have a save for it. And I'm actually going to play more. I liked it. I had a really good time in it.
Oh, yeah. Choplifter is fun. Yeah.
This particular version was really fun. Let's see if I can just find it real quick. Chop. Here it is. This is called Choplifter 3 for the Super Nintendo. That's the one.
That's the one I played then because, I was trying to find some emulated games, and I think I was doing the Emu VR at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do I want to play? I don't know. There's like 600 some odd games in this stupid folder.
You know what I like about the Emu or Open Emu Emu or Emu?
Yeah,
or
yeah. Open. Yeah, the Open Emu, the one you're using on the Mac.
The Mac one. You know what I like about it the most? It's actually really simple and easy to use, and I really like it. But what I like about it the most is there's a whole section in there for homebrew stuff. So people are making someone made a new NES game about mowing lawns. It's fantastic. It's so good. You just have to try to get as much lawn as you can and get the gas can before you run out of gas. And the gas can appears randomly. So you got to mow, mow, mow. Oh, I'm almost out of gas. Oh, there's the can. Okay, can I get it? Oh, I barely made it. Okay, I can mow more grass. You try to clear the zone like you would in a Dig Dug or something. It's sort of like that. Anyway, there's a ton on there of like people just making new games for old machines and putting them on here.
This is classic Brian and Scott right here. Mm-hmm. Scott's always like, I just want it to work.
Yeah, I just want it to work.
And that Brian's always like, but if you use RetroArch, you can use it on Linux or Windows or Mac. I mean, sure, you have to learn what cores are and how the libretro stuff works. And sure, but then you get to use stuff cool like overlays and bezels and all this other crap that Scott gets.
You know, that stuff is cool. I do like that stuff. The problem is... RetroArch is fine. It's great. It's got a million options, and that might be part of its problem. Yeah. But the biggest problem is what if I just simply want to go, all right, I want to look and see some games, and I need some kind of front loader to do it in an easier way. Right now, you got to load content.
Right.
Go find the exact one you're looking for. Make sure the right core is associated with it. Then play it. Like, it's just a little kludgy. Yeah.
We probably need to figure out maybe like a mini episode or something where we kind of talk about how not to get overwhelmed with retro, because it can be very overwhelming in lots of ways, financially, mentally. I mean, it's such a – you really – the first thing you want to do is like, oh, look, I just found, 900 ROMs. And it's like, that's great and all, but you don't need 900 ROMs.
No.
Because you're not going to play –
You're going to play some hacked version of freaking Donkey Kong Country? Like, come on now.
It's much better to have a smaller, specific collection that you make work enjoyably than it is to just to have a big collection.
I highly recommend Mario Tennis on the Game Boy Color. It's very good.
You played that before. Was that what you was playing before show?
Yeah,
that looked good.
Yeah, I was fighting Donkey Kong and I beat him barely though. It was actually a really close.
Wait,
match.
I thought you said you were playing tennis.
Yeah, tennis.
So that's how you refer? It's like you fight people at tennis.
Oh, what did I say? Fight?
Yeah, he said I was fighting Donkey Kong.
It felt like a fight.
Wait a minute.
It felt like a fight because he's a dick. But Donkey Kong versus Mario.
You're so mad about Donkey Kong Country. That's not even the same Donkey Kong.
I know, but they're still dicks. Those games are too hard. Actually, the second one's not so bad. I've been playing that one. It's fine. Sorry, but Donkey Kong Country, it had my number, man. It just really wanted to make my life hard last week. There's a new TMS Mashups put a new TikTok account up that is just me swearing at video games. So search
hilarious.
For it. See what you. I think it's just Frog Pants Plays. I think.
Right.
Yeah, you guys should go check that out. All right, that's mine. Now let's do Brian's. I'm going to play the audio. We'll see if I can figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
What's my hint?
1988. We're playing on the NES.
Okay. Nintendo Entertainment System. Here goes. That goes for a while. That's
it. It does.
I know this too.
Yeah, you do.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. Oh my gosh, I can't think of it. Why do I know this? I just played this. Like, I'm pretty sure I just played this. Like,
you just played this.
Today.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one I was talking about. I played the SNES version of it, but it's that hopping machine deal.
Machine deal. I think the opposite. It's just the machine deal, man.
Blaster Master.
Blaster Master.
Is that it?
There you go.
Oh, shut up. Really?
Definitely. Blaster Master. When you said it earlier, I was like, really? I was like, he's going to get it.
Yeah, I played it today.
Yeah.
I literally, it's that hopping sound, I think, that did it. That's what got me, because that's very similar in the newer one. But I guess I've not played the NES version. Is that the best one to play? I have no idea.
That was the one that I was familiar with.
Okay. You know what else is good? I played a ton of this on my Switch also, is Kirby's Dream Land 1, was it? Man, those Dream Land games, they're good.
They're good,
yeah,
man.
Kirby's good. I like Kirby a lot. They are really daring. Those games mechanically were ahead of their freaking time.
Like, right.
It's so cute.
I like when Kirby cut Nintendo of America that deal where they didn't have to pay rent for a month.
Yeah, that was freaking great. Kirby, bastard. Anyway, moving on. Let's do this deal here. Wait, where are we? I don't know where I am. Here we go.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Time for emails. This is an email from Mike Pacholik. Or Pacholik. Oh, Pacholik, he says in his pronunciation.
Yeah,
right?
He says Pouchalik.
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 Pouchalik. Pouchalik. I don't know. So hello, Scott and Brian. By the way, send it to playretroshow@gmail.com. Playretroshow@gmail.com. Hello, Scott and Brian. I'm loving the new show. On the Cool Spot Show, Scott, you were talking about a game that Shiny made that began with the letter M. That was MDK, short for Murder, Death, Kill.
Oh, yes.
Says, I was the IT manager at Interplay when we bought Shiny Entertainment. A topic I think
that's
that would
awesome.
Be cool for the show is clay or stop motion games. At Interplay, we had Claymates, Clay Fighter, and Clay Fighter 2, Judgment Clay. Oh, jeez. I forgot about that. We made a special version of Clay Fighter for the Blockbuster Video. If you have a copy of it now, it is worth a very pretty penny. Some
really?
other clay games were from the Neverhood. That was a cool game. Remember that?
Yeah, I love From Neverhood. That was so good.
That was really good. Anyway, thank you for the great content, Mike. Well, Mike, this is awesome. A little bit of an old school industry guy working over at Interplay. That's awesome. I am a fan of claymation in general. I love it.
Yes.
Clay animation, clay as a medium is just cool to me, even in any context. But in video games, even more so. So if somebody comes to me and says, Scott, do you want to play a point-and-click adventure game? I go, it depends on what it is. If they say, well, what if everything's made of clay? Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
You're so resistant. I love that you would say, maybe it depends.
I mean, I don't know, because I'm not really, yeah. That genre has kind of come and gone for me. But if you said everything's made out of clay, then all bets are off. I'll play it. So
absolutely.
Yeah. That's me. Yeah. I would do it with clay. More clay-based games, please. That's wonderful.
I love clay-based games. They look so just so fun and whimsical. And I also, back in 2016, I threw some money at Kickstarter for because of those Neverhood guys. They were working on a new Clay game called Armacrog. And I don't know if you've ever seen that, but from
I think we talked about it on the Boop Show. What happened with that? Is it around?
Yeah, it's still around. And you can, I think you still get it on Steam. I never played it through. So I'd started. So I'd like to go back and play it. You may be just, that may just be the thing I have to do.
Oh, it's on sale right now. It's only $9 and.
Sweet.
It's not reviewed real well.
Armacrog. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a Kickstarter game. You know how those go.
Sometimes those are big and awesome, though, right?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
I said how they usually go.
I'm trying to see what the deal is here, if I can get some action movement out of this character. There we go. Look at that. See, that's just cool looking.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I think it's just a really neat motif, and I would like to see more games do it. I'd like to see like a turn-based XCOM style with a bunch of claymation rendered characters in it. Even the one of the Jackbox Games collections, I think it was the last one, yeah. 7 before 8, they had a version of Quiplash in the game, which is like Quiplash 3, right? And it's not actual clay. I found out on Twitter, one of them answered and said, yeah, we do that all in CG, but they made it look like that was all clay, and it is such a cool look. It's my favorite version of that game. So
it really is. It's like a clay ball in the center of the screen, and it's like oozing back and forth, and it's very good.
It's really neat. So if you like clay, then, and we don't mean Clay Entertainment, who we also like. They're awesome.
We also like, yeah.
Yeah, those guys are great. They should make more games. All right, that is going to do it for that. Our next episode. Do you want to do the DuckTales thing? What do you want here? We got a list, Brian. What do you want to do?
We got a list. I would love... Okay, so
we got people asking for PC, like hardcore. Do we want to do anything?
Right, so... Yeah, that's kind of a good question. That's a good question. I was kind of teetering back and forth because what we're doing, where we're doing arcade and then console, arcade, console. And then this one was kind of a little bit of both. And so I was thinking back to console. But you made a good point about we haven't done any retro PC stuff, because for one thing, we don't I don't know if PC stuff disappears like arcade and console stuff does. You know what I mean?
Because
if it was on a PC, it's kind of still accessible usually.
Yeah, it's less ephemeral for sure. Like if you want to go play Quake, literally the version of Quake on Steam is in 4K, uses original code, you know, it's a beautiful game, blah blah blah. Like there is a point of diminishing returns, because you're right. That's like the permanent platform where Windows just supports stuff in somewhat perpetuity. But I think there's an era there, like, you know, I put down Hexen Beyond Heretic, for example, because Hexen is one of those games that I absolutely adored. It was weird. It's not mainstream, but
it had a giant
influence.
If we did Doom or Quake, it had to be from a different angle. We had to figure out an angle on it. But Hexen,
Hexen's awesome.
Or Heretic.
Heretic, then Hexen. So you had Heretic and which was more like a mod to Doom, sort of. It wasn't that different.
Right.
And then Hexen was like...
Dimension, so...
Yeah, yeah. Right. And Hexen Beyond Heretic, which was the sequel-ish, that thing is where it was at, man. Oh, it was so freaking good. But here's where I lean. I think we have to get the big yellow guy his time. I think we go Pac-Man.
You're going to pull you're just going to go straight away from all of that.
Yeah.
And just go to Pac-Man.
We're going to go to Pac-Man. We'll get back around to some PC thing, but I think our discussion is a good indicator that we're going to have to drill down and figure out what we want to really
think
get
about
out of
it. We're going
to
think about it for a minute, right?
Yeah. Because both of us have, you know, huge influences from that era, and of course it's going to matter, but we just want to make sure it's good.
It might be a good time to do the Pac-Man thing, because I believe it's this month that Namco is releasing their better version of the Pac-Man collection.
Oh, when's that happening?
I believe that's what they said originally.
Okay. I'm down with that, whatever that even means. Yeah. I don't know what that even means, but I want to talk about baby
this?
Pac-Man and that weird pinball hybrid game. That was weird.
Right. How about this?
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those three things we talked about today.
Yeah, we'll talk off air. You guys can feel the surprise when it happens. I like it. That's fine. That's totally fine. All we've done is wetted your whistle. You'll get to blow on your whistle hardcore next week. Okay. Yeah, like that. I don't know why I'm so interested in the Pac-Man thing. I think it's because
I love the Pac-Man thing.
It's so primordial to what we're doing. So.
Yes.
All right, so that's next week. Something is going to happen, I promise, when we get there. In the meantime, we are done. I want to remind you folks that this new little enterprise that is now six episodes old is brought to you by you and your good graces at patreon.com/playretro. And thankfully, with your support over there, we're able to keep the show going and actually do some really cool stuff in the future. So if you want to see what it's all about and what you get for being a part of it, even at the most basic levels, you can go to patreon.com/playretro today. Starting next week, I'll start reading some names out of there so you guys can get a little cred for being awesome.
You're getting the cred.
Yep. Big thanks to everybody for doing it. We appreciate it. Email us playretroshow@gmail.com. Playretroshow on Twitter. You can find the show at frogpants.com/playretro. What else, man? Is there anything else, Brian, that we haven't talked about we should mention here?
That's a good point. Now, you make sure that also, first of all, tell a friend. Tell a friend to come watch it. Yeah, listen to Play Retro. Also, me and Scott stream all through the week, and we've been doing retro games. So check us out on Twitch at our respective channels.
Yeah, that's right. Brian Dunaway on his. I'm at Frog Pants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, want to see me yell at a pixelated monkey? Perfect time.
Right. To do that. If you don't have sensitive ears, I suggest you do just that.
Yeah, I recommend it highly. I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for watching, for listening, for hanging out, and for being here. We'll be back with more next time right here on Play Retro.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.